We get started. And the way that we're going to lay out the session is we have Devil's Advocates from the Devil's Advocates radio show, and they're going to be speaking. And then we have Bob Park. And then we have Mark Helpsme from Northern Spirit Radio. So we're going to have each of the different groups, well, Dom and Mike and Bob and Mark speak in turn. And then after that, we're going to have a panel session. So we just talk about what we're going to do. The handout, the reason for the handout was to give you the contact information for everybody that's here so that you go out and you can listen to their shows, you can support them, and you can get involved in this network that we're going to have. We want to have a very good, robust networking group across the state. So that'll give you all the contact information on there. It also has next steps for after this presentation, and the next steps are to go out and go to my website and put your information in so that we have your contact information. And then the next step after that is I have a room reserved in Sun Prairie at the library for a meeting on April the 10th. So anybody that's interested in continuing on after this session, please, you know, let me know if you're going to show up or just show up.
So you out of handouts or something?
I am out of handouts. I apologize. I can give you my card, and I will get a handout to you. If you need a handout, I'll give you my card, and I will email one to you. So first up, we have Devil's Advocates. And the Devil's Advocate Show is Wisconsin's most dynamic afternoon political drive radio program, perhaps ever. Teaming with UW La Crosse College roommates, Libertarian Dom Dominic Salvia, and Bernie-crat Michael Crudy Crute. The show went national, on national syndication on January 2nd, 2017. Initially, they were in 17 markets, from Phoenix to Seattle to Charlottesville, Virginia, and outlets including TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Armed Forces Radio Network, Progressive Voices, The Devil's Uphold Fact, Resist Trumpism, and Walker Bash with Equal Glee. In February, the pair announced, added the media moguls to their resume, entering into a time brokerage agreement with Good Karma Broadcasting towards the purchase of News Talk 1510 AM WRRD, Waukesha, Milwaukee area, where they can be heard weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m. So I give you the Devil's Advocates.
Yeah. I'm going to stand up because we always stand during our show. Thanks a lot. I mean, good turnout here, and we're inspired to see so many good people. We may have a little differing tact at this than some, meaning that we approached radio in the same way right-wing talk radio does, sort of. And what I mean is, we want to be commercially viable. We want to demonstrate that we're winning, or we're competing on the same metrics that righties claim they're doing on the radio. Now, what they fail to tell you is there's a lot of money propping up this so-called right-wing commercial endeavor. There's a lot of foundational money. The Bradley Foundation comes to mind. The Franklin Foundation comes to mind. When you hear commercials that aren't really for a product, if you ever tune into Rush or Sean Hannity or some of these others, that's really a way for people to give them money. We like your message. Here's your money. We don't have any George Soros money at this time, although we're
I hear it's all over the place, though. So if anybody knows, just let us know, right?
But what we are trying to do, and obviously we're in the midst of buying a commercial radio station, 1510 AM. We made the flip of format on February 1. And for us, Dom and I did this in Madison, the former Mike 92.1. We never worked for iHeart. We independently produced a show. We paid for the right to use production facilities and personnel, and then we made it profitable. And then we sold the ads, and then we brought return for our advertisers, and we built up audience. And I know there's some of you that listened to us when we were in Madison. In retrospect, it was a little easier. The market was there, and they were waiting for us. When Dom and I went on the air in the midst of the Walker recall back in 2012, I sensed that there was something there was this huge void in the state of Wisconsin. The righties were all propping up Scott Walker, and we just felt like someone at least should be calling out the $3.6 billion budgetary lies, things of that nature. And that's where we found our role. So we're trying to put forth fact-based, you know, not alt facts, but real fact-based. There is editorialization, there is talk on our station. We think it's got to be entertaining. It's got to be as good or better than what the righties are doing, or people aren't going to listen. But ultimately, we're a commercial station. And we have a daytime license. We got to turn it off at sundown. So, where some of these gentlemen are pursuing, let's call it low-power alternatives, we're also currently in conversations, and I'm not saying they've progressed very far, but I'm in conversations about FM transponders or translators. And what that effectively is, it's a low-power FM alternative where we can take an AM station that's got to turn off tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and I can run programming all night long on an FM dial. But ultimately, guys, in a short period of time, I guess what I think is important, this is A, about trying to be commercially successful, because otherwise they'll just say it's NPR, it's, you know, they'll denigrate us if we can't do it as a commercial product. But it's not about getting rich quick for me. It's a really crappy way to try and get rich. What it is about, it's about changing the politics in the state of Wisconsin. And I never wanted to be formerly Ed Schultz or Rush Limbaugh, you know, some of these talkers. I could have done this. This is my little dream. I could have been a monologuing lefty, and I would have sounded perhaps something like Sly or something like Ed Schultz. And I didn't think it was important to echo chamber to the left, because you folks, you know what you believe. You educate yourself. You think Walker and Trump's policies are bad. Okay. The righties, I'm not going to win them over. I'm not going to steal Mark Belling's audience away. They might tune in occasionally to giggle with us, but we're not going to take away his loyal 30%. But the big old 40%, the independents in the middle, are what are persuadable in this world. So our tact was, we have to offer alternative viewpoints in real time, because I think lefties can handle the truth. Not all of our whininess is always vindicated. Sometimes there are points the right or the center or the liberals or libertarians have to make. But my point of view, bringing on a good friend and a college roommate, a guy I can argue politics forever with, is because my contrarian buddy is telling you the other side's point of view, or at least giving a differing vantage point in real time. And what we think is, I think every day, if I can convince him through the course of time, maybe not today, but over the course of time, presented with facts and better governance, you know what? Most independents will gravitate towards it. So if Democrats, and I'm not part of the team, but if Democrats want to win some elections, they better get on board. They better support the station while it's getting up and running and trying to create commercial viability. And ultimately, guys, I can't label it lefty. I'm not calling it lefty because I don't want my advertisers to be hemmed in to saying, well, we support the left. Well, you can assume if they're advertising on the station, they're supportive of the left. But really, the customers, we want 70% of the people. We want the independents to listen to our station as well, because A, they're consumers, and B, they're voters. And our stick is right in the reddest county in America. We're in Waukesha. That's our transmission point.
Taking it to the center, yes.
And our office facility, our actual broadcast facility, will be at 1224 East Brady Street in Milwaukee, which, if you're not familiar, it's kind of like State Street. It's just, it's where all the people are. And we're going to do storefront radio. We're going to put a little speaker outside, maybe a microphone, and you can come on Friday afternoons right off the street and tell us what you think. And that is the connectedness that radio gives people. You can't call up the news anchor, no matter how mad you might be at Scott Walker. You can't call up the 6 o'clock news. They're not putting you on the air. But we will, even if you disagree with us. And that's the one thing radio can do. If you listen in, you get to eavesdrop on a hopefully a funny, clever conversation that we've been having for 25 years. We'll let you in on our secrets. And that's our format. That's not everyone's format, but that's how we do it. But the politics are fact-based, and if I'm wrong, he corrects me. And if he's wrong, which is daily, I correct him. And ultimately, I know if he is compelled to my point of view, so are a lot of other independent listeners. And success to me is not just, you know, getting paid. Success to me is reducing Republican votes in the Weld counties by about 10%. Mm. Yeah. And I think if we support this station and we make sure it's still here for next year and 4 years from now and all the different elections to come, eventually the pendulum's going to swing, guys, and we'll be in the majority and we'll whine about our own bad governance. But until that happens, please give us a listen, tell people about us, and you know, I am literally risking my entire financial world to try and pull this off. If you know sponsors, I can't give you a book. I can't tell you who's listening, but when we call for callers, the phone lines light up every day. Somebody's listening, yeah, and hopefully they're being influenced. And that's my little spiel.
Thank you, Michael.
Counterpoint.
No, not today. Not right now. Thank you for having us and allowing us to be here, and thank you, Michael. I would just add a couple of things. Michael came over to my house one time, and we've been talking politics and hanging out. We went to college together, for crying out loud. So we've been doing these discussions.
Unlike the governor.
for many years. And he came over one time and said, hey, you... we were having a discussion, we got mad, and then we laughed about something, a joke that he said at the end, and God, it was great, and we went on doing our party and having our drinks and hanging out. We eventually came over and said, hey, let's do a radio show. All right, so we got the iPad out, and we tried to learn to talk in 10 or 15 minute increments and not swear. And drinks with ice are really loud next to a mic, so we had to get rid of those as well. But eventually, you know, this thing came from a Saturday to a daily, and then to a two-hour daily, and then the three-hour daily, and then the national. We just kept going, kept pounding. And it's, for me, it's been an experience in a couple of ways. Number one, it allows us the opportunity over the last couple of years, and this last election cycle specifically, to go out on the road and see what this show was all about. And, you know, we went to the WIM in Vegas for the first Dem debate, you know, and got to go back to the spin room and see how this whole thing was made. And for me, it was, what an adventure, man. I've never seen anything like this. And you got to see the show and really realize, wow, you know, it's all the whole perimeter of the room is this, you know, 10 by 10, you know, television people that you see these, you know, you watch the news, you see all these people, and they're standing on boxes and their crates that they brought their gear in. You know, it's very ugly. It's a show, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is amazing. I got to feel perspectives and get an idea of how this thing worked, and unfortunately, in many ways, my cynicism over my life has proven to be correct, I think especially given our current president. But it allowed, that gave me the opportunity and experience to feel all this and learn how this stuff works, at least from a media perspective. And then to do this with my friend Krui, to be able to have arguments, philosophy, politics, life, whatever you want to call it, and get heated and get mad, and then be able to just wipe it away. Because it's not all personal. I mean, people have different perspectives. People have real different history. Each one of us, you know, we have our own life experiences, and we shouldn't discount them, right, left, or middle. And from a commercial enterprise, the more people you can connect with, well, the more people will hear the ads, and for commercial viability, that's certainly part of it. So, I guess I would just say, if, from my perspective, if it's fun for me, it's good radio. And hopefully that comes across to the audience, and when we go out in the community and we go out on the road and we meet people and we do these things, that, yes, we can be disagreeable, we can have these issues and arguments, but at the end of the day, we're all human beings, we're all friends, some way, somehow. It's good enough time, you can connect with everybody. There's too much in common not to. And I think if we continue to do this and continue to have fun on the air, you know, that stuff, that's contagious. You know, people want to feel like that. People want to feel good and want to be engaged and discuss and talk about your politics and your differences in life and not be judged for it, to be able to walk away from it and still be friends at the end. So it's been an experience, and I appreciate you having us, and certainly any questions you have, we'll be around.
Next, I'd like to introduce Bob Park.
Got it right.
Got it right.
Beginning a part-time website design work with his son in 1999, Bob Park has created websites for a number of groups engaging progressive social action, such as the Raging Grannies of Madison. He got involved. Yay for the Raging Grannies! Yay! He got involved with Low Power FM, LPFM radio after retiring from a pollution control engineer position with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources in 2006. When WIDE LP needed its first home for transmitters, he offered his garage in Southwest Madison. And he's done many more interesting things, and I will let him tell you about that.
Okay. Our two speakers here reminds me of graduate school in the 1960s when I shared my office with a Goldwater Republican. And the more we discussed, the more liberal my views got. I'm curious, how many of you have actually listened to a low-power radio station and known that you were doing so? About three, four people. Five, my wife.
On low power, we talk real slowly.
Low power station, the FCC requires you to broadcast at no more than 100 watts effective radiated power. This came from pirate radio years ago, and they wanted to get rid of the pirate radio station, so they actually created a license that could be used by people who were doing low power broadcasting. The antenna height, you can have 98 feet above the ground and broadcast at 100 watts, unless the ground happens to be above average terrain. And then if you have to cut back on your power. For example, our station, when it relocated, put its antenna up 73 feet, but that was more than the height above average terrain that the FCC would allow at 100 watts, and they told us we had to cut back to 40 watts. So that's how low power our station is, 40 watts effective radiated power. And another big difference, we're non-commercial. We cannot have any commercials at all, but the license is free. One station per owner, you can't have a group, an organization owning more than one station. And it has to be an organization, not an individual. The FCC had two different windows of opportunity for applications, the first in 2000 to 2001, and that was limited by opposition from full power stations and opposition from the National Association of Broadcasters, including public radio, which said, we're afraid they're going to interfere with our broadcasts if you put these stations in too close to us. So they were very limited. One station, a Christian station, was approved for Madison, and the FCC said, we've got one more frequency you can have in central Madison, and there were seven applicants. Well, what happened was that these applicants ended up deciding they would share the airtime rather than competing for the license. So two coalitions were formed, one Christian and one secular nonprofits, and we finally, the first application went in 2001, it was finally granted in 2004, and the station broadcast as a joint operation between these two partners, each having half the airtime, until July of 2015. By that time, the congressional study of the allegations about interference from low-power stations had gone through and demonstrated that that was a very overblown consideration. So the Local Community Radio Act was finally passed and signed by President Obama in January of 2011, and that led to the second window of application opportunity from the FCC for low-power stations in 2013, and our Christian partner got their own license. They went on the air. We helped them get their station going in August of 2015, and then we got approval to relocate the station to a better location, another garage in Madison. But it was more centrally located, and we could have an antenna twice as high. This second round of the applications window led to more than doubling in the number of low power stations in the country. There are now more than 1,500 low power stations broadcasting at 100 watts or less. Now, our particular station, WIDELP, the stations are required to say LP at the end of their call letters to indicate their low power. We, as I said, got on the air in, we first got on the air in 2007 for a test broadcast for 2 weeks with rented equipment. Then finally got on the air 24/7 September 2008, but only at 50 watts because we were limited by the borrowed or used equipment we had. And finally, we bought a refurbished transmitter that allowed us to broadcast at 100 watts starting in April 2009. So soon after that, I became the volunteer program director. I'm not an on-the-air person. We don't actually have any disc jockeys at present. It's a station with no studio and no live broadcasting. Everything is controlled by the computer, which is in, as I said, in a garage in West Madison. We continued using our startup grant for all our expenses, the startup grant that our half of the station got initially, and that was mainly for royalty fees, electricity, and internet connection. Had to buy some more equipment. We have are required to be part of the emergency broadcast system, and we bought a couple of radios to provide that capability. We're keeping our costs down by having no paid staff, 100% volunteer operated. I program the community, the broadcast computer from home by the through the internet. And our grant money will be running out about the middle of this year. We're planning to start a fund drive and are glad to accept donations from anyone who wants to see us continue to put progressive voices on the air. That's our slogan as of the beginning of this year. And my wife is a treasurer. Hold up your hand, Barbara.
Throw your money at her.
Right, right. Some of the progressive voices who we have aired include Matt Rothschild, John Nichols, Bob McChesney, Lisa Graves, Catherine Kramer, Mike McCabe, Norm Stockwell, Ruth Conniff, Doug LaFollette, Ed Garvey, Jim Hightower, and Greg Palast. And progressive political figures who've been on our airways include Bernie Sanders, Russ Feingold, Tammy Baldwin, Mark Pocan, Keith Ellison, Chris Taylor, and Teresa Perso, Madison area local representatives. Progressive programs we air include Democracy Now!, Counterspin, Talk Nation Radio, Alternative Radio, and Battleground Wisconsin from Milwaukee, and Gonadis News from England. Podcasts we previously aired, which are unfortunately no longer being produced, were Moyers and Company and Fighting Bob Radio. Internet resources are important, especially when you have a low-power station that only reaches a limited audience. The internet plays several important roles for low-power stations. I broadcast with permission podcasts from Australia, Canada, and England, as well as from around the U.S. Most such stations usually have a website. The website also provides a good place for contact information, phone number and email, contact form, a place to add your name to a mailing list such as a radio council or friends of the station, and you have one possible way you can use your website is to have a now playing scroll which shows what's going out over the air based on the metadata in the MP3 files that you're playing. Our station website also provides archival links to talk shows going back to the first year that we were on the air in 2008. 9 a.m. Every weekday morning is when we broadcast Democracy Now!, and that becomes available from Democracy Now! At 8:30 Central Time, and we have the capability of an automatic download, something called RSS, that goes directly to the broadcast computer and then gets broadcast as soon as the 9 o'clock hour rolls around. Many LPFM stations, low power, LPFM is the abbreviation, and if you do a search on the web for LPFM, you'll find a lot about low power radios. Many such stations do live streaming on the internet, including music, if they can afford the additional fees. There are additional fees involved with streaming music, which are not included if you are paying the flat rate that you get to pay to three different organizations for broadcasting all the music that you want to use. I use Twitter for daily tweets to giving the topics on the following day's talk shows. So far, more than 6,500 tweets since 2009. Many stations have Facebook pages, which they provide station information and announcements of coming public events, fundraisers, for example, that they put on. Some use Instagram for station photographs. Such links for the five community LPFM stations in the greater Madison area are provided on the station page of our joint website. This is the first newsletter we came out with in February, and the last page has that website link, lpfm.madisonwi.us. And if you go to that website, you'll find links to contact information on all of those five stations and links to their Facebook pages and so on. Finally, meetings that we've had that give some idea of the kind of networking that's possible. Several of us from three of the LPFM stations attended the Grassroots Radio Conference in Ames, Iowa in 2014. And followed with a local mini-summit in Madison the following month. These are annual events that are hosted by local radio stations, some of them low-power stations, in various parts of the country. In 2015 in Milwaukee and in 2016 in Madison, the Wisconsin Community Media Organization, which deals mostly with TV, provided pre-conference sessions for LPFM radio folks. And the five community radio stations in the greater Madison area met last November to share progress reports, and that's when we decided to start publishing this newsletter every so often, hopefully quarterly. It's available online on the website. Our local group also plans to meet next in the city of Monona, as it happens, on April 10th. I don't know if that's going to compete, but our meeting's at 11 a.m. in the City Hall.
Well, thank you, Bob. Next up, we have Mark Helps Me, and Mark is from Northern Spirit Radio, WHYSLP. Mark has been producing high-quality radio shows since he began on Eau Claire's WHYSLP back in 2005. The show's now broadcast in some 28 stations nationwide. Along the way, a board was formed to support the work with the explicit purpose of Northern Spirit Radio broadcast inspirational and educational voices of peace and social justice using language of personal story, music, and spirituality. As the right has benefited from its claim to moral superiority, a key motivation for the program is to explore and claim the spiritual higher ground for a liberal progressive left, which is where it properly belongs.
And I want to hear a cheer for that line. I am Mark Helps Me. Back in 2005, I was trying to figure out what I was going to be when I grew up. Because I'd been a computer programmer consultant since 1980. I mean, before that, I was actually in the Peace Corps in West Africa for a couple years. I've been a war tax resister since 1982, a number of things like that that are part of my credentials. But I was dissatisfied with doing regular business computer programming and felt I had to go somewhere else with that. So in Quaker World, we had what's called a clearness committee. The clearness committee sat with me. At that time, I got the invitation from WHYSLP, which was just organizing in Eau Claire. They had been talking. They figured, what kind of programming? They're just brainstorming. What kind of programming should we have on Sunday? Well, someone said, well, you know, it's Sunday, and in the U.S. that kind of means, like, you know, maybe some religious stuff, and some people say, you know, religious stuff, we don't want that. But how about we could have some kind of, you know, activism with religious spiritual base? Yeah, well, who could do that? Well, Mark Helpsmeet was well known as a peace and justice activist locally, so they got in touch with me. And while my clearness committee is going on, we get, yeah, this is the way to go, okay? So I shifted my computer programming consulting thing to very much a backseat and started doing the programs. If you know anything about Quakers, maybe you know that our form of worship is the hour of silence. Very American mainstream, right? Not. Even though we're known since the mid-1600s as peace and justice activists, you know, the Underground Railroad, women's equality, Susan B. Anthony grew up Quaker, all this stuff. Even though we've got that history, we're not known for being talkative. As a matter of fact, maybe you've heard this joke. What do you get when you cross a Jehovah's Witness with a Quaker? Someone who knocks on your door and then refuses to speak to you. I was going against the grain in the Quaker world to be on the radio, because a lot of Quakers I've talked to said, oh, we should just broadcast an hour of silence. That would be great. Not terribly workable. But in fighting, working on the mainstream, I'm somehow trying to reach out to the mainstream. And as you've noticed, I think I've got a radio voice. People tell me, I walk up to strangers to ask for directions and say, do you know you've got a radio voice? And I say, yeah, and a radio face. And my voice works for the radio in the NPR fashion, right? It's not Rush Limbaugh. Right? That's not how I'm usually perceived. And I'm glad. Thank you. But I also carry with me, the way that my programming started was under the care of the Quaker meeting. And what that in part means is that they could receive charitable donations for Northern Spirit Radio programming. And it also meant that they would anchor me spiritually. I want to, because I am all about peace, thoroughly about peace, I want to do things in a different way than the mainstream. I am outraged by the way that a lot of the right-wing folks do their programming. And in particular, we all know that if someone comes up to you and calls you an idiot and calls you a jerk and calls you that because of your views, which actually you hear them do sometimes on call-in on right-wing radio, there's no bridge is going to be built that day, right? We know that. Exactly as was said, we need to get at least, you know, there's 70% of the population that theoretically could be under our roof. We need to reach out to those folks. And there's multiple ways to do it. I was thinking, you know, hearing devil's advocates, maybe I should be called the angel's advocates. We could work together. I think Satan got a bad rap because he was actually an angel, right? You know, it's you know how that goes. Anyway, so I have good opportunities frequently to talk to right-wing people, and I try and create bridges, and surprisingly often it happens. Surprisingly often. I remember back in during the Desert Storm, I was standing with a group of people protesting in front of our post office in Eau Claire, and this guy drives up and yells something out of his pickup window. And some of the people standing there wanted to yell back and do that. I went right up to his window and ended up having an hour-long conversation with the guy. And he wanted to know a lot of things about abortion and everything else, right? And I talked to him, and he went away saying, well, I've got to give this some thought. I'm used to doing that kind of talking, because I can speak God talk perfectly well. I'm also, by the way, I was a physics teacher at UW-Milwaukee. I'm a scientist quite thoroughly. I don't have any problem fitting those under the same cranium. I speak multiple languages. I also speak French. I could do this in French if you'd like, but I'm assuming you wouldn't. So anyway, the point being, I want to have a program which allows the room to expand, to have more people under our roof. And I want to do that without compromising my values. I told you, I've been a war tax resister since 1982. You know, I figured there's lots of ways in which the government would like to put me in prison because for not going with the mainstream, okay? But still, because I'm a mild-mannered Quaker, they find room. There's a way that conversations go that is, I think, not helpful, and there's a way they can go helpful. I'm wondering if I could recruit a right-wing persona. Yeah, Dom, could you be right-wing for me, please?
Sure. I will be the greatest right-winger there ever was.
Okay, we're going to start with this first one.
We need some orange hair up there, Dom.
And I think in order to be right-wing, you do need at least a cap. NRA, there we are. Okay, it's not NRA. I don't know which hat I should put on. I need your vote on it. I could have this one. It's genuine Irish wool. I don't know what this one is. And this is the one I like the best. Which one is going to make me a liberal?
None of them.
Oh, the canvas one.
Canvas? Okay, good. Here I am. Okay. You are R, by the way. So let's imagine that this right wing a-hole. I didn't say that. This righty, we're talking, and he actually is on. He's like one of those people from Alabama and so on, and he's getting food stamps and all this stuff, and he's opposed to big government, right? So that's him, and I'm the left wing guy. And let's say I'm a little bit volatile. I erase my Quakerness here. Start out, would you would?
I can't wait till they repeal that Obamacare.
Don't be stupid. If they do that, you probably have five family members who will be left with no health care coverage at all.
You're the idiot. Nobody in my family touch Obamacare because we got coverage under the ACA.
Is your head up your butt? The ACA is Obamacare. How ignorant can you be?
You wouldn't know the truth if it bit you on the ass, twists the facts with all the lies you want, but I'm not listening. You're just like Obama, promise I'll keep my policy. That was a pack of lies.
Okay. That last thing he said, by the way, you know, is true. Right? Usually you couldn't admit that if you're having this interaction, because right now it's all about...
I remember all the time. It was...
yeah. Right. So now we're going to do it again, and I'm going to pretend I'm myself. Okay?
Right.
Go to it, jerk.
I can't wait till they repair that fucking Obamacare.
There certainly is a lot of anger about that. Do you have health insurance now?
I didn't for 3 years after my heart attack, but I could under the ACA, so it's not so bad now.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I actually have a diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis, and I couldn't get coverage until they passed the ACA. And even then, I couldn't afford it if they didn't have the subsidies. You know, I'm not getting rich, you know, doing this Northern Spirit Radio Power, just like someone else here. But I love the work.
So why do you care about Obamacare when you've got coverage?
Well, what they're trying to repeal is the ACA, which some folks call Obamacare. And if they do it, I'm going to be up the creek with no paddle. What are you going to do then? Do you have other options? Do you have other family members who are going to be screwed if it's repealed? Different conversation, obviously, right? I did not back down from my principles at all, and that's a key. And you'll listen to my programs. And by the way, he's guarding them for me right there. There's right behind him right there. There's two trains. I've got sample CDs if you want to take them home and listen to them. You can also get them on the NortonSpiritRadio.org.
I'm going to get me that Trump care.
So, thank you very much. What an actor. Give him an Emmy or whatever they call it. So, for me, it's absolutely essential in terms of building the size of the tent that I do things in a different way. My programs are not acceptable on public radio. Why? Because I advocate without any doubt. When you listen to my programs, you know I love them gays. I love them peace folks. I love the equality of all folks. Muslims, I hug them. All of that is true. And yet, I have on my program, and I ask people specifically about their religion, their spiritual background, including what was bad. If you had a bad religious, I want to talk about that, because one of the things that's most essential to me is building community. Now, one of the things that was already mentioned by Chris in the introduction was that I started this program 2005. That was right after the 2004 election. You all recall that election? The Bush re-election campaign?
Bush first election.
His first, the first one that he perhaps won.
Although the second one he stole.
Yeah. But I one of the things that was big in the news then, if you can stretch your mind back that far, was that the margin of winning was provided by evangelical Christians. Do you remember that news from back then? That's what it said. I was outraged. Because morality was not on their part. And for their side in this, what I'm saying right now, I'm referring to the administration of George W. Bush, who was in, okay? Do you think that they were more moral in terms of their war policy?
No.
Do you think they were more moral in terms of their stance on rights of gays and lesbians? I can't hear you. Do you think they were more moral in terms of giving tax cuts to rich people?
No.
John
Calvin would say yes.
John Calvin would be welcome to come on my program, and I'd listen to him, and we'd get him straightened out. Uniformly, I was outraged that they were grabbing the, that somehow they had grabbed the moral ground.
Yes.
That the people who are really, and I believe they really are concerned about true morality, were going over to the dark side. And I think that in part we're guilty for that. And this is no slam on devil's advocates here. I think we have to have room for religious people to be in our camp. We have to welcome them. We have to say our tent's big enough. Because I personally know plenty of liberals and people on talk radio and low power FM. I know, again, I'm syndicated. Not all of the stations that carry my programs are low power. Some of them are full power, and they're all across the nation. There's five in California, and there's three up in Washington State. And just this past year, I got stations carrying us in New Mexico, Arizona, and Oklahoma. So we're carried all over the place. But I know far too many of people who I dearly love who will say, I don't want those Bible-beating assholes beating me over the head. Now, I actually, my programs, if you listen to them, I'm beating nobody overhead with anything. Because I'm a Quaker. Quakers, you know, are kind of this weird thing on the religious spectrum, because we are deeply religious, and we don't have doctrines, we don't have creeds, we don't have ministers, we don't have hierarchy. We don't have any of the things that most people consider to be poisonous in the religious spectrum, right? It's very much like Unitarians, actually. We've got similar things. So they often have ministers sometimes, although their ministers are subservient to the congregation in a way that a lot of other churches aren't. So there, I think, needs to be room for religious people in our tent. And yet we don't talk like that. As a matter of fact, when I make efforts with different places to syndicate our program, I contact them. Do you want to carry this? Two stations very explicitly, one over in Virginia and one up in in Washington State. They said, no, there's no effing way we're going to carry your program because we can't carry religious crap on our station. I said, did you even listen to one of my programs? Doesn't matter. You're religious, forget it. They're not considering the content. And there are a lot of wonderful peace laws. Would we kick Martin Luther King out because he's religious? Gandhi, he's religious, you know. We have a shut door that we too easily allow come to the fore. And actually, specifically that station over in Virginia that refused to carry the program, their board members, some of them had talked to me and said, we'd like to carry it, but our board president is extremely religious phobic. We can't carry anything that smacks at all. There was one other station that was an interesting case. I'd contacted them. They're actually in, it's the nation's, I think, only pagan station. They're in Pennsylvania.
Until now.
Yes. Good point. I have plenty of guests on who are pagan or pagan leaning, right? That's fine with me. I like atheists too. I happen to like almost everybody. I contacted them and I said, would you like to carry a program or some of it? They said, we can't because you sometimes allow Christians on your program. We've got a problem with the size of the number of people we can include in our tent, and I want to advocate for us to change that. So first point, respect. And second point, I would say let's enlarge the size of our tent. I got one more joke for you. You all ready? Let's see if I can find it. Is this on page? Oh, yeah, here it is. What do you get when you cross a community organizer with a community radio station? A fertile opportunity for bettering the world. Okay, it's not a joke. Thanks much.
Thank you, Mark. I want to thank everybody for coming, and I was going to stick up for the devil's advocates and say the only heathen was Tom, was Don, because Mike does talk a little bit about religion at times, right? But anyway, and Mike said that they want. But this session is a start. That's all this is. This is the beginning, and what I would really like to do and encourage people to do is to come to this meeting on April the 10th. Because really, we can meet all we want like this, but until we're actually doing something and having some action, we're really not going to progress. So I would like to invite you all to come on April the 10th to the Sun Prairie Library. And if you can't be there personally, I will try to provide a way that you can come in through a Google Hangout, perhaps, if you're too far away. But I really, really, my goal in being here is to try to get this network that I've been wanting to build since I started with the Grassroots Network in 2011 across the state. We need a messaging network. And if we could start with low-powered radio, we can move this out to other forms of media. We can move it into our activist groups. If we could develop these messages and then we could put them out through low-powered radio, through community television, even through commercial television, maybe we can crowdfund and we can raise the funds that we need to try to get some advertisements on TVs in areas where they're not going to see anything progressive in these right-wing areas. If we could get our message out there, I think that we can make a big difference in our communities, in how we deal with each other, and in our elections. So I'm really encouraging people to please get involved. I think we already have good messages. Bernie gave us very good messages to start with. And if we could just put them into a format that we can get them out to the people, I think that we can make some progress in the state. So I thank you all for coming. And we were going to have a panel. We're like 6 minutes left. So I think maybe a question answer might be a little bit better. Okay.
On the directions here, versus right on the Walker Way.
I can't help it. That's what they mean. I don't have control over that one. Yes.
Well, I live in Azaki County. My ears picked up when you said you could try to improve the vote by 10% or something.
Yes.
How many people do that? What ideas do you have?
My idea is a TMJ, WTMJ 620, just shook up their land. And if you look at their ratings, they're way down. And it's the first time we've really seen a drop-off. The retirement, or whatever you want to call it, Charlie Sykes, means that entrenched listening habits of the right wing. And it's the same station that plays the Bucks, the Brewers, You know, I mean, you listen to Bob Uecker on your ride home, and you wake up in the morning, and you're getting indoctrinated into the right way. And I would say, my thought process is, I'm not going to steal the 30 to 40 or whatever percent of Republicans. I'm not going to change them. But I've seen young producers, guy Joel Finkelman did our show, and then did Vicki McKenna's show in succession. And that's the only politics. He's really a sports producer, but got stuck doing our show. And what do you know? He's doing the devil's advocates, and he's turning lefty. And then he does Vicki McKenna, and he's turning righty. And I'm telling you, the media that people are being indoctrinated by certainly does have an impact, and it's not the hardcore left. Most of the people here, a couple more commercial ads or whatever, aren't going to change our opinions, right or left. But guys like him, yeah. I mean, this guy who calls himself a libertarian voted for Walker the first in the recall, voted for Bernie Sanders in the primary in the state of Wisconsin.
I was going to ask, can you guys address what I believe is a myth that terrestrial radio is dying or dead?
It is a myth. Tremendous myth.
Thank you.
93% of all Americans.
Propagation of it, and I think radio itself is really the way to get the message out, and it's the only way.
Your captive audience in a car, and that's where we get people. 93% of all Americans listen to the radio every week. There's no other medium you can say that about. There is only really two formats of radio that are growing. One's country, and one's talk. And, you know, be it a live sports event, it's the now, it's the live. You got it. If you're a Badger fan, you couldn't be in front of a TV last night and you had the radio on. Well, I can tell you, when the AHCA failed yesterday, we got to react in real time. We got to communicate in real time. We had conservatives calling us up, and I said, you better bring better arguments because you're suck. You know, we can bring immediacy of reaction to the day's headlines, and really, talk radio is one of the few things you can do. And in Milwaukee, talk radio has been dominant. I mean, average nationwide, about 10% of all listeners on the radio listen to talk radio. Five of the top 10 grossing commercial stations in America are news talk formatted. WTOP in D.C., Washington, D.C., billed $62 million in commercials last year. It's not that people aren't listening. It's that there are two or three big corporations in America that dominate the radio. It's iHeart, it's Cumulus, and they put out the Rush Limbaughs, and they force feed it to all their affiliate stations. There are only three independently owned commercial
WCPT.
Progressive, WCPT, the one in Minneapolis,
and us. I was going to ask you a follow-up. If you guys are looking at them, and are they helping you guys out in terms of a business model?
No.
Because they're pretty successful.
No, I mean, they've been friendly, but no, they haven't given me any solid advice.
I was wondering if that was a venue or an opportunity.
You know, part of that's on me. I mean, if I
don't know.
I had more time to ask and seek outside advice, maybe. But, you know, I'm in the midst of...
I'm just asking because I listen to them.
Our whole business plan was devil's advocates in the afternoon and we'll backfill around them.
Is there any chance of progressive radio returning to Madison, and why did the mic just cut off progressive stuff without informing its viewers?
The day after the election.
Day before the election.
I think iHeart as a corporation bet on Hillary Clinton. I know that sounds weird, but all the polls said Hillary was going to win. And if Hillary had won, I probably wouldn't have launched a brand new lefty radio station. Because the demand wouldn't be there. We were done the day before the election. They made their bet before they knew the outcome of the election. Now, I'm not saying we were propping up the station, but ratings-wise, we had a 7 share. We were number 2 in the market.
And I even went as far as writing a letter to the mic and did not get one response.
they went on vacation and turned on their answering music. They had nearly 1,000 calls in just about our show.
Right.
I mean, that's why I was told by the receptionist.
Yeah.
They didn't return anybody's calls. Because that corporate decision wasn't made in the Madison market, probably, or we really pissed off some right-wing sponsor and they just said, hey, burn these guys. I think it's more likely it was a corporate decision made in San Antonio by a $20 billion debtor corporation that has no concept of Madison, Wisconsin. We weren't perceived, our success wasn't a reflection on the station because we were independent, I've been told. They didn't perceive our success as their success.
I was just wondering, as you were talking about your station and stuff, and people were wondering, what do you have for your backfill right now these days?
What do you mean?
The other programs you run.
Backfill. They're all great.
But you call it backfill. You call it backfill.
That was a joke.
So I'm using your word.
I mean, compared to the devil's advocate.
We are using a similar format, but not the same as Madison's Mike 92.1. We've got Stephanie Miller in the morning. I mean, she's got a huge fan base. Tom Hartman, who's a very cerebral lefty, good lefty, in the middle of the day, 11 to 2. We have shifted back to our natural spot, which is 3 to 6 p.m. Central Time. That's our preferred time. It's a huge difference between 2 and 3. I don't know why. The stories all break at about 2 in the afternoon, and it just gives us more content. And then we've inserted Glenn Klein online. Glenn worked for WJRN until about a week before he started working for us. Glenn is not a hard lefty. Glenn is more of a libertarian guy with a pretty good sense of humor, and he sounds good on the radio. I'm not, again, trying to cast this purely as an ideological involvement. Just because I'm a lefty, my business partner's not. And I still do business with him. I still cash checks from the Walker administration at my day job. Scott Walker, the state of Wisconsin, is one of my clients. You know what? If their money's green, I'll cash the checks. But how I choose to live my own life, my own ideology, is a little different. Because in business, if I didn't take his checks, then I'm going to get sued for discrimination or something else.
We sure miss you in the radio in the afternoon.
I wish I could tell you there's some plan in place to change that, and there's not. Here's the deal. I was offered the opportunity to buy two stations, and one station seems like more than I can chew, and two, the other station did not have a signal strength that was justified the expense, and it was in Columbus. The other, ESPN Deportes. If anybody's in the market, it's $400,000. You can buy the Columbus-based ESPN Deportes. For roughly double that, I could change, hopefully, we'll see, the proof will be in the next election cycle, 1.5 million years. Madison, Dane County is 520,000. It's triple the market size, and the guy that sold it to me bought the station for 2 million. And I got it for a lot cheaper than that. And it doesn't mean it's cheap. I didn't get a facility. We're in the midst of building on a facility. It's highly expensive to put all that technology and mics and all that stuff together. So there's plenty of risk, but ultimately, I'm sleeping just fine at night.
But you know you're missed.
It hurts a little to hear that. But if there is success
exactly
in Milwaukee, I personally will make every endeavor to buy a station in Madison. But first, I got to succeed at the first one. There's margin there. People are making money, as I mentioned, at radio. I just haven't figured out how to do it other than through our product 3 hours in the afternoon. Just because we were making money doesn't mean iHeart was. You know, you got to have salespeople that care about the product and actually, you know, if you got every dealer group in America, when I say dealer group, I'm equating them to car dealerships, talking about these big radio conglomerates. Because if you got BMWs, and you got Chevys and whatever, and then you got Yugos down here. Mm-hmm. None of your salesmen want to sell the Yugos. And they all treat progressive radio, left-wing radio, as if it's the weak stepsister. Well, we're doubling Vicki McKenna's ratings in the spring book. We're doubling Vicki.
Mm-hmm.
And she's on the payroll, and we're paying for the right. In no time in my entire business career has anyone stopped taking my checks. And that's what iHeart did to us at the end of October. So, you know, it wasn't our choice, but it's the best thing that ever happened because, honestly, we wouldn't have pursued a radio station, you know, change.
Milwaukee needs you too, I know that.
Milwaukee needs us worse. Milwaukee needs us worse. The Democratic makeup in Madison's not going to change for the lack of the devil's advocates. They voted Democrat before we got there. but the 60,000 African Americans that stayed home in the last election in Milwaukee, and the 250,000 in the state of Wisconsin, Republicans all showed up within 3,000 of the vote totals of Romney. Hillary Clinton's down 240,000 votes.
Right.
Well, A, you got to have, you know, I'm not here to bash Hillary. You got to inspire people with a candidate. I think a lot of us probably preferred Bernie. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, where do you go with that candidate? I mean, where are you going to take him?
Where are you interviewing him?
And you must get the message out. If you listen to Charlie Sykes, you know what he would say about Mary Burke? I listened. Some guy called sincerely and said, "Hey, I'm going to vote for Walker, but tell me a little bit about this Mary Burke." And he told that guy no less than seven times, "Go to MaryBurke.com. Go to MaryBurke.com." That's the Republican anti-Mary Burke website. And then sort of quietly acknowledged 10 minutes and seven mentions of MaryBurke.com in. Well, you know, technically that's the Republicans, but that's all you need to know. Well, that guy that listened to the Brewer game last night and maybe would be open-minded, maybe he wouldn't, but maybe he might vote for Mary Burke or at least inform himself. Never got around to it, not hearing it from Charlie Sykes. And there's one more in the back, and I know you're trying to wrap this up, Chris.
I just had a quick question for Bob. When is low power licensing going to open up again, or what's your anticipation of that?
Probably not in the next 4 years.
Not
in the next 4 years?
No. So Trump administration is going to control that now?
The typical range is 3.5 miles, if you're doing well.
But in Eau Claire, that means basically all 60,000 people in the city get WHYS. Yeah. So
right here, though.
Right out here, it doesn't work. But in a particular town, here and there and everywhere, you can have easily tens of thousands of listeners. Remember, there's sample CDs back there. Take whatever you want. I made them for handing out last year, and so if you want to take them, you can also just find anything online on whatever topic you want.
If you didn't get a handout, I can give you one of my cards, and I can.